Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I am Brian Rumpf from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matty G Digital.
And today we are talking about client value. And this conversation, I think, you know, from the title, you might think, you know, how do we provide value to clients? Which I think is another podcast episode, something people talk about a lot. But I just want to talk about what is the value of a client to your small business, to your own personal wealth. And there's a lot of different ways to slice that. So we'll jump into that. So what do you think, Matt? What's the value of a client?
I've been somewhat doing this purposefully the last couple of months where I'm not paying attention to what we're talking about until the moment you announce it during this podcast. There's a part of me that really enjoys that. I know that we are sitting down in a couple of weeks to kind of like better plan this. And at that point, I will know ahead of time and maybe come prepared. But there's something a little bit fun about this. I feel as if I have some stuff to say, but I also want to just maybe take this as a coaching episode because I feel like I can learn a lot from you talking about client value.
All right. Awesome. And I think it's something, you know, we turn every episode into a marketing episode because I think most people don't think about this, especially when they figure out the their budget for marketing.
Sure.
Or other things that they're investing in. So if we peel back the purpose of a business, it should be to make you money. And as you know, we're a small business podcast. We're talking to small business owners. You are getting into small business, you know, for lots of reasons. But the number one thing should be to make a living for you and your family, and to build wealth. The scale of that wealth differs for everybody. You know, not everyone's going to become a billionaire running a small business. You should probably become a millionaire over time. This like, especially, you know, not crazy amount of wealth, but you know, you're doing that. And to do that, you need to make investments. So you need to invest in marketing, your operations, just what you're doing. So everything that you spend money on should be an investment, and you should kind of know how that gets back to you. And I think most of the time people don't really think about that at all. And every business is going to be a little bit different. So yeah, what are maybe some of your initial thoughts of what you want to know more of? There's obviously, I'm just getting going, but I want to trade the microphone for a second.
You wanted to like tee me up so I had something intelligent to say, because when you said client value to introduce the podcast, I'm like, oh, I should have prepared for this one. I actually think, again, as the marketer where I have had, let's say, probably hundreds of conversations, probably not thousands yet, maybe actually, about marketing and selling marketing and talking about ROI, I think I've come to realize lately specifically that people don't know what that even means when they say, well, I need this to have a positive ROI, or I need to see an ROI with this marketing. And honestly, I'm now recognizing no one has a clue what that means. It's almost become like a catchphrase.
Yeah. And I think that's really what we're talking about. So what is that return on investment, or how much does it cost to get a client, or what is that value of a client? And every place is different. I think if you, it's always a bit of a dangerous game when you start comparing small business to large corporate businesses. But it's a good exercise sometimes to go through to set your expectations. So what I find is a lot of people in small business want to spend as close to nothing as possible on their marketing or any investments, but then they want bigger returns from that. So it's like, and I've fallen into this trap too. It's like, okay, I want to spend $300 and I want $6,000, you know, 20 times return on that back, and that seems fair. But when you look at large startups, a lot fail because they run out of marketing money because it costs them so much to get a client. And they're spending so much to get that. And to them, a return on investment could just be slightly more than they spent on marketing. But they know that that's good. You know, the key is having a product where you get repeat customers and you build that, you know, value, lifetime value of a client, which is kind of what we're talking about. But large companies know what that number is. They know how much they're going to pay to acquire a client, and they know how much profit they're going to get from that client over the lifetime that that person is a client with them. And every business is a little bit different. Sometimes you might have a lower cost to get a client, but you're going to be always chasing them. So bricks and mortar retail, you know, someone comes in, maybe you make $2 from them, but it costs you $1 to get them to come through the door. And I think we intuitively do some of this math sometimes. Like, you know, if I'm a restaurant downtown, I know I'm not going to have sales of, you know, $1 billion a year. So I can't spend $500,000 on marketing. But I don't think anyone really looks at what that should be to try to, you know, just wrap their head around what should that cost be. And then you create your marketing strategy to like keep that cost reasonable, or at least if it's working, it's working, right? Like if it costs you more money and you're profiting from it, then, you know, do more marketing. Like, part of the point of marketing is to buy $100 bills for $80. So, you know, it's not to necessarily try to make that $80 $50, which I think people try to do sometimes right away.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody, and that's, I'm already going to walk back my statement. I don't think it's very common that people know their CPA, so their cost per acquisition. So how much does it actually cost for them to purchase a client? Because everyone's purchasing a client, whether they realize it or not, whether it's with direct marketing, so digital, traditional, it's customer service. Like, everyone has a CPA, a cost per acquisition on how much it costs. I don't think a lot of people know that. And then I think that the tagline of, well, it needs to have an ROI, I don't think people know what that means either. I don't think that people understand what that return on investment even looks like. I think that they just immediately think, so every, what do you always say? For every 80 cents that I spend, I want to make a dollar back, right?
Yeah.
That's what they think. I think those numbers are completely arbitrary. I don't think that people understand them. I don't think that they know what an average ROI would be, what an average CPA would be. It's a bit of a jump here in a story, but I worked years ago, like the first agency that I worked with a exterminator, a pest control company. And we were doing like really well with them. I can't remember exactly what we were doing. I think we're doing Google Ads and probably SEO, like old school SEO. Now I'm thinking about it, with like microsites and all this stuff that nobody even knows what I'm talking about anymore. But they started like honing in one time on CPA, like cost per acquisition. So how much money were we spending for us to get them a lead? And they would see the number, and this one time was like, this number's terrible. We need to get this to single digits. And I remember thinking even then, when I was like new and fresh, that, well, like, why? Why would you just arbitrarily think about that number? Why does it need to be single digits? Because you think that's good? The average CPA for that industry was, of course, like, I can't remember, probably $50 to $100, meaning every $50 that they spent, they were going to acquire a lead or maybe even a customer. but it's just, that was my first clue that people don't know about CPA, and let's just use ROI as the better term that people know.
Yeah. And what's cool about this, and we'll get into some numbers in a second, every industry is different. I think people are surprised at what the real cost is of a lead. And then, you know, not every lead becomes a customer. So it's like, could be cost per sale. And I think you get, people get fixated in jumping to A, what's the exact calculation, and B, how do I make it lower or feel like a good deal? And it's hard. And this is all aspects of business, to go from zero to perfectly efficient right away. So you have to experiment. You have to try different things. Along the way, you're going to waste a lot of money. One of my favorite analogies for this, and you're a parent, you know, when your kids are starting to eat solid food, you know, you get a jar of baby food, you're feeding it into their mouth. You know, you go through maybe a jar at a meal or whatever. A little bit later, they start grabbing at the spoon. You know, are you proud of that when they're like, hey, look, they're doing it on their own? But like, where does all that baby food go? Into their mouth?
Right.
No. It's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So now, to get them one jar into them, you might need two, because another jar goes everywhere. But you're proud of that. So it's like your business and marketing, like it's going to take you a while to like find out what that ratio is, or, you know, learn how to fine tune it. So when you're starting out, you know, you could just be randomly guessing. And now, you know, another topic is why you hire an expert. So that Yes. expert's still going to be guessing, but they're going to be able to guess a lot better than you are, to like try some stuff to figure it out. Because, you know, if there was a perfect like answer, then you'd be rich. If you as a marketer could guarantee, you know, I will acquire you a client for $10, then you'd be a millionaire, because everyone would just do that. But you can at least say, you know, here's some things that I know work, or Yes. here's some things to try. You know, let's take that budget, because you're going to be investing some money up front before you could find a way to make it sort of flow. But if you figure it out, then it's like, if you want to grow your business, like, just invest in more marketing. And if that marketing's working, then, you know, that's what you want. You want to know, hey, it cost me $1,000 to buy a client. So it's like, every time I make a $2,000, I'm going to put $1,000 of that away to buy another client.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's guessing. I want to say this is probably semantics, but it's testing, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, an expert in any case is going to go into it saying, I know this industry, I've worked with this industry, here's what's worked in the past. So we're at a much more advanced starting point than someone that, like a business owner that takes pride in hacking it and not spending any money for advice and an expert. You're going to be Yeah. miles ahead. And this goes back to my whole theory on why marketing doesn't work, and the myth of marketing not working, which is, when the business owner takes pride in not spending any money and they hack it together and they do marketing for a minute or a month or a year and they don't see results, it's because they're not marketers. Not everyone is a marketer. Not every person is a retail owner. Not everyone sells HVACs and services HVACs or is a professional account. I shouldn't be expected to hack together my accounting and then I realize in a year from now that I'm getting audited and I messed a bunch of stuff up. I'm not blaming accounting. I'm not saying accounting doesn't work or bookkeeping doesn't Yeah. work. I'm the idiot that thought I could hack it together and save a couple bucks. Yeah. It's the same thing with marketing. It's just that people, I think, take too much pride in trying to like not pay for stuff and hack it together Yeah. and then blame marketing for it.
Yeah. And I think that's another conversation that we've had and can continue to have, because I think That was a really good analogy. I haven't heard you use that story yet about blaming accounting. Like, accounting doesn't work.
That's a
I
good one.
tried it.
Finally, it took me years of ranting and rambling on this podcast and to you personally that I was like, this is going somewhere. I like this.
And it's true. And that's also like I joke too about, from an accounting perspective, sometimes there's things you can count as a marketing expense that to me is not actually marketing. It's like it's an allowable tax deductible marketing expense, but it's not marketing, right? Like I remember meeting someone who had like season tickets to the Raptors, and it's like that's not really marketing unless you're really taking high value clients, but this person wasn't. It was basically for them and their kids. So it's like, yeah, you're spending money on marketing, but they would also spend, thousands of dollars on Raptors tickets, but then zero on anything else, which is another conversation. But when you look at that value of the client, and when you can get an idea of what that means to you as a business, then you could start wrapping your head around the investment decision. So one of the, I work with a accounting firm, and we have a coach. His name's Rob Nixon, and he has a great sort of rant for the accounting industry, because accountants are classic at not wanting to do proper marketing or spend money on marketing, but they will spend money to acquire a business, and acquire a customer from an accountant who's like retiring, or if they want to merge firms, they'll like acquire that business. And he's like, why would you spend that much on it? So they'll typically, I think, we'll use round numbers, exaggerate them a little bit. Say a client earns you 10 grand a year, you might buy that client for 10 grand. So they will spend 10,000 to acquire a client, but they won't spend, $1,000 on marketing to acquire a client. They want to spend $20 because they think a thousand's expensive. Yet they will pay sort of a year's worth
That
because they know.
opportunity, sorry to jump in, like that opportunity cost is ridiculous though, right? Like, would you not rather put your money into marketing and acquire who you want over time at honestly maybe a leisurely pace where you can continue to focus on your own business versus then acquiring one huge client or a group of clients and then trying to figure out why did it work? How do I make this work? Dealing with all the growing pains, new processes, new people, new rapport, that opportunity cost, like, that is not for me.
Oh yeah, it's huge. And that's again another, there's the strategy of acquisition, which sometimes makes sense for companies with
Sure.
at a certain size. They just acquire, another business, and they have, and sometimes they acquire it just to get those clients because they know, hey, I'm buying it for 10,000, but I can make them a $20,000 client within a year. So that makes sense. But Rob, one of his big things he coaches on is like investing and doing proper marketing. And he's not saying let's spend a crazy amount of money. He's very, has some tactics that are very reasonably priced, and but also helps you realize that say that's 10,000 a year, the average client, if it's a business client, not everyone's going to be around for 50 years, but say they're around for 5 years. So that client's going to be worth, $50,000 to you. Say you're running at, again, we'll exaggerate, 50% profit. That's 25,000 profit to you that you can take home. So if I was offering you $25,000, Matt, how much would you pay me for that?
I don't know. I mess this up every time. I get all nervous with your questions. You go, man.
know. It's a trick question. Like in theory, you might pay me
Right.
$24,999, right? But would you give me $5,000 for 25?
Well, yeah.
All day long, right? So
Every day
like,
I wouldn't
why
care
aren't
about
people spending
that one. Yeah.
marketing? So it's like when you look at a business, and in this case, it's like, there's a lot more work. So you know, say a client's worth $25,000 to you over a 5-year period, then you can start at least setting the bar of like, okay, give me $1,000. Like, you know, there's marketers who will just pay for client, or they'll do stuff on spec for clients, and they're like, you know, I'll do everything, but you pay me $1,000 for every qualified lead I get, right, or every client. And that's just a different type of business model. But once you know for your business what that client value is, you know, then you can work backwards and make investments accordingly. Or you might realize like, oh no, I'm spending $1,000 a month, which seems like an insane amount of money on my marketing, but really I need to be spending 2 or 3 to get the number of leads I need to get those quality.
Yeah. And clients. I think just to make clear, whenever you say client value, I'm thinking like lifetime value of a client or a customer for people out there, which is the most critical part of what we're trying to get at. It's okay, I've got this client, they paid me one time this amount, and then you're sure they're coming back. You have to be aware of that. There's a lot of factors that will play into that, but figuring out lifetime value is so critical. So not to put you on the spot, but like, how do we figure that out?
I think what's neat about that is, actually, I have a spreadsheet. If someone wants to give us a call and go through it, we could sort of do that. It's a bit of a guessing game because, sure, again, some people are going to come. Maybe they don't like you. Maybe you don't solve a problem. They're going to buy from you once and leave. Other times, it's up to you, again, as a business owner, to bring them back. And part of building a business is, what is that repeatable business? Because if you're just spending money to get people to come once and never come back, then that's, you know, you have to keep your spend a lot smaller. Sometimes you have to keep spending money to keep reminding them to come back. So like, you know, McDonald's, Tim Hortons, like they're spending money all the time reminding you to come back to them, even though everyone knows what they are and who they are. They're doing that. So, but they would know exactly what every new person that comes in, how much does the average person spend a year with us? And like, sort of they're running that machine. You as a business need to know, like, how often do people come? What's their average spend on that? And then it's, how do I get them to come back maybe once more a year? So if you're a restaurant, and I go, you know, say I go to your restaurant 5 times a year. Well, if you can get me to come 6 times a year, that's a 20% increase. Like, that's pretty good. So maybe you need me to come back once more. If I do that every year for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, like that starts adding up pretty quick. So you start seeing the value in every experience they have with you, but also the value in spending some money up front to get them to come in through the door.
And I've heard this.
It's an experiment.
Yeah. I've heard it before, people saying, well, I can't really pay attention to that or track that because I don't have like repeat business, or I'm not like, not that I'm set up for it, but I'm not like a repeat business and purchasing business. And I've been thinking about that throughout this call. That's baloney. What industry or what business would never have someone come back, like ideally more than once? I'm trying to think of like big purchases now, and even like, I work with some mortgage brokers. Mortgage brokers are the same. They're going to come back every year or every 5 years, yeah, or refinancing and all these things. So like, yeah, I will challenge someone to tell me like, this is a one-time purchase. We do not have lifetime value of a customer.
Yeah. And then it's like, why not? Right. Like that's where you get ideas to like find something else. Yeah. If you look at any great mortgage broker, car salesperson, like they are going to know, you know, they're going to keep their client list and they're going to hustle you. Like I get calls about, you know, hey, your car's 3 years old, ready for a new one. And maybe you're not, but they're reminding you that they're there and they want to make sort of money from you over time. Like that's where they're putting their effort in. And it's that lifetime relationship, ideally. And every single business should have that or should be looking at ways to do that. If you are truly a one-time thing, then you need to take advantage of those customers to get referrals. Because the other thing to feed in here is, I forget what the rule is, but like everybody has like 300 people sort of in their network, right, that they can talk to and tell you about. So you want to capture some of those people as well in your marketing. So, you know, that value of your client is not just that client, but it's who they tell. And if they bring in sort of word of mouth, which again, locally, a lot of people are like, oh, I get all my stuff for word of mouth. And it's like, well, then put more resources into word of mouth or make it easy for those word of mouth people to find you and do business with you. You know, that's just sort of exponentially growing your marketing investments.
Yeah. I don't want to get off track, but like that word of mouth stuff drives me crazy. Like I don't need to do marketing because everything I do is word of mouth. I'm like, well, that's a little bit of marketing to begin with. But then also, again, I'll challenge anyone that says to me, Brian told me to call this person, and the next thing that I did was call them. First thing you're probably going to do is look at their business card. That's marketing. Number two, you're probably going to go to their website. That's marketing. Number three, and or you're going to check out social media. You're going to look for them somewhere. You are not just immediately going to call that person or reach out to them or go to them. You are going to do a little bit of research. Even myself, who doesn't read things and doesn't do a lot of research, I will spend like 5 to 10 seconds doing some of my own internal research. And that is still
part of it. Yeah, you got to find them somehow, right? And I will tell you, just again, working with Greg Evans, we've invested heavily in the marketing machine just to be easy to find. We get a lot of word of mouth recommendations, but guess, and I think that's always happened, but suddenly magically that we're easy to like find. You can go to gregevans.ca, book a consultation. It's easy for people to book a meeting to talk about their accounting. Whereas before, all these word of mouth recommendations just never called. So who knows where they were? I don't think suddenly we're not getting a flood of word of mouth. We're just, now it's easy for them to book meetings and become customers. So that's all for marketing, and it's not a crazy investment. Like, this is another conversation, but you and I were talking about sort of a accounting colleague in another part of the country who has spent tens of thousands of dollars for zero leads. Like, again, that's somebody who's throwing money away, but at least they understand it costs money to acquire acquire leads. But you got to put the puzzle pieces together. You got to take advantage of sort of all the marketing that suits for you. But you have to wrap your head around what that client means to you in terms of what that value is, so that you can really understand that it makes total sense to pay money to acquire a client. And you can do that through marketing or more expensive ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, start opening your mind up to the fact that just because you spend $1 and maybe you get $5 back, that's not the end of it. A year from now, 6 months from now, maybe you'll get another $5, another $5, and that will add up over time. So that, let's say, $1 that you spent to acquire that person could ultimately, over the course of 1 to 10 years, be hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's, people who have figured that out are the people who are growing, they're doing consistent marketing, they're trying new things. They're not afraid to lose a little bit sometimes, because, sometimes you catch lightning in a bottle and something just works really well, but you need to be doing that, constant, consistent activity to be able to do those things. All right. So, in conclusion, spend money on marketing. Understand that you're in a business to make profit. There's value to those clients. And, try to take a stab at what that is. Any final thoughts, Matt?
Well, yeah, like you don't have to even dive into marketing, but start having intelligent conversations and thoughts about more than the tagline. This needs to have an ROI. Talk to Brian Rump of Profit Coach, who can walk you through how to determine a lifetime value of a customer and to understand if you're going to spend $1 and make $10 after it. How much now are you willing to spend on your marketing?
Yeah, awesome. And we'd love to do that with you. Check us out at kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. We'd love to help you start this conversation. We can help grow your business through something like this, or just help recharge you and, wrap your head around these calculations. You can send us an email to set it up at kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.